Netanyahu has been indicted for corruption. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was indicted Thursday on corruption charges, including fraud, breach of trust and bribery, capping a 3-year investigation by the Attorney General. The charges, which carry the possibility of jail time, are the first ever against a sitting Israeli leader, but they do not require Netanyahu to resign. They could, however, imperil his political future as the country edges towards an unprecedented third election in less than a year. The indictment said Netanyahu accepted bribes that include champagne and expensive cigars, conspired with newspaper publishers, and used his clout to help a telecom magnate in exchange for favorable news coverage. In a televised remark, Netanyahu denied any wrongdoing and accused prosecutors of staging an attempted coup, adding, "The time has come to investigate the investigators." Both Netanyahu and Benny Gantz have failed to form a government, and Netanyahu's ability to build a coalition is now in further doubt. Joining us on the line from Israel, Rolien Marks for the Israel Report. Rolien Marks, a very good morning. Gosh, where do we even start?
I actually don't know where we start. This has been quite an extraordinary week for Israel. And you mentioned the word unprecedented, and everything at the moment is uncharted waters. I mean, first of all, we have this historical moment in Israel's election history where neither Gantz or Netanyahu has been able to form a coalition, some kind of a government. And for the first time ever, it now falls on all the Knesset to try and cobble together some kind of a government. And failing that, within the next now 20 days, we automatically go to elections in March, which will see the third set of elections in the space of a year. So, and just to remind listeners that now any Chaver Knesset can form a government, from Gantz to Ahmed Tibi. So, you know, it's really uncharted waters. Coupled with this sensational bit of news that, although we have been expecting it, but, you know, the timing is so sensational with the Prime Minister who has been indicted. So where do we go from now? Because, you know, everything is up in the air. So what happens now is that the Prime Minister, in this case Netanyahu, has 30 days to decide whether or not he wants to ask the Knesset for parliamentary immunity. And it used to be that, you know, a Prime Minister could not be indicted while he's Prime Minister, but this law has changed. So what happens now is that the Attorney General Mandelbult will present to the Speaker of the Knesset, Yuli Edelstein, the charges, and it now goes to the parliament, to the Knesset, to vote or not whether he deserves immunity. So Netanyahu now has 30 days to try and convince his fellow parliamentarians to vote for immunity until we go to some kind of third election.
What about his comments, which I was particularly bothered by, around the fact that this is a coup, that this is all about politics, and it's time to investigate the investigators? Isn't that very dangerous speak?
It is very dangerous speak, because it's actually asking the Israeli public and also diaspora jury to kind of choose between the Supreme Court, the state in this case, and himself. There's been a lot of criticism for Netanyahu around these indictment charges, many saying that, you know, the time has come for him to step down. The comments last night, "This is a coup, it's time to investigate the investigators," comes across as an angry, wounded animal that's lashing out. I don't think that it's comments befitting his office. And I spoke about that earlier this week, you know, with some of the comments coming from Naftali Bennett. You know, at the end of the day, you've got to consider the position that you hold. His other four ministerial positions will be taken away from him. And it's asking Israelis, it's putting us in a very precarious position. It's also calling on us to doubt the levity of the Supreme Court. And, you know, many people have commented to me over the last 24 hours, you know, it's a leftist campaign, it's the liberals, which, you know, you know me, Howard, you know, it's an argument I hate, because I think we can do better than, you know, play wing politics, as I call it. This has been, and these cases have been under investigation for several years, and people are tending to focus in on the gifts and the bribery. There are much more serious charges at play here, and that's the fraud. That's a very, very, very serious crime. And as I've said to some people, if Netanyahu, you know, if he's innocent, he deserves his day in court. But so do the Israeli people. So do the taxpayers, the electorate, the public here. We also deserve to have the evidence presented before us, to hear both sides, and to know whether or not we have a leader that is worthy of office. We have to, in this case, divorce Netanyahu, the magnificent orator, from a prime minister who is now being indicted on some very, very serious charges.
Yeah, it is serious, and it is, the fact is that, you know, from a South African perspective, we keep looking at it and saying, oh, champagne and cigars, because we're dealing with a level of corruption here that is hard to imagine. But it doesn't mean that it's okay.
But this is it, and I ask people to look at the entire case. It's not just champagne and cigars. We have charges of bribery, breach of trust, fraud. These are serious charges. You can't try and in a democracy, in a free press, try and control the media. And also, you cannot sway decisions that benefit and create monopolies. This is where the seriousness comes into the champagne, the cigars. You know, that's small potatoes. The big issue here is case 4000.
Explain to us what that is.
Case 4000, which is the most serious. There's three here. There's case 4000, case 1000, and case 2000. I don't know where case 3000 disappeared to, but case 4000 is the serious one. This is where Netanyahu will face charges of bribery, fraud, and breach of trust. And this is because he has allegedly pushed or made regulatory decisions that financially benefit controlling shareholders of Bezeq, which is our main telecommunications group, and for changes into coverage from Walla News Site, which is owned by Bezeq, to try and be more positive towards the Prime Minister. You know, we've seen a fascinating case in the British media this week with Prince Andrew, and that, you know, royals cannot be above scrutiny. And in our case, our Prime Minister, our leaders cannot be above scrutiny. You cannot try and sway the media or control the media, and also try and create monopolies in a country where monopolies already are an issue.
Yeah, it's very, very, very dangerous. What do you say about the, is there thought about the fact that with regard to the timing, that the announcement came the day after a coalition government wasn't formed?
Well, I think what Mandelbrot could have been doing is trying to give him the benefit of the doubt to try and form a government, because also his ability to form a government impacts on immunity charges. In this case, he hasn't been able to form a government, which kind of paves the way, makes it a little bit easier for the Attorney General to indict. And the Attorney General himself said, you know, I don't do this easily. I do this with a heavy heart. You know, I have to look at the law. And we also have to look at the Supreme Court. And one of the issues that Netanyahu has faced over the last two elections is trying to impose government control over the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has to stand on its own. This is one of the greatest beacons of a democracy. In our case, our Supreme Court is one of the most respected in the world. It's something that Israelis take tremendous pride in, and we cannot fault the conduct of our Supreme Court and our Attorney General, who have conducted themselves impeccably and within the remit of the law. And I'm hoping that Netanyahu, who we have to give credit to for being a tremendous leader, for creating an Israel that is a Middle Eastern and indeed world growing superpower, I'm hoping that Netanyahu will show some dignity and stop with the kind of comments that he is, you know, that it's a coup, that it's a investigate the investigators. It's not language that is becoming of him.
I can tell you that watching him speak yesterday or last evening, it was the first time that I've seen him very, very afraid. He is shocked. He is completely bewildered. It is quite unbelievable to see. And he had almost shrunk into himself when he was speaking. It was quite disturbing. This is the first time that he, I think, is taking this very, very seriously. Has his son or his family made any comments?
They haven't made any comments, and I think they have been well advised to keep shtum, to not make comments. You know, Sarah Netanyahu and Yair Netanyahu are also seen as major liabilities for him moving forward. Some of the, there's the ongoing jokes here in Israel that Sarah Netanyahu runs the government, and a reminder that she's also been under investigation. And I think it would only harm his case for them to be speaking out in the media and on social media. I don't know how we are going to control Yair Netanyahu with this, but it could be a liability.
He will do his father no favors, that's for sure.
Absolutely not. And, you know, you've got other people weighing in that saying that this is an extension of the Trump impeachment trials, and I think we've got to be very careful with language like that.
Yes, I see that there's a lot of they've been conflated quite a lot, and I actually think in a strange way it's going to have a negative effect on Trump, because it's almost like, you see, we're taking down all of these guys who are part of this cabal or whatever it would be. It will almost give strength to what's going on in the United States. Austin Gibbs says, it's the principle of the matter, not the amount or the manner of the gift. This is true democracy at work. Let the law take its course and let the courts decide, not the public, not public opinion and not emotions. And I think he's absolutely right.
He is absolutely right. It's a very, very smart statement from Austin. We have to respect the law in this case. I think also we have to be very careful of language like, and I've seen it on my social media page. It's the leftists, it's the liberals, it's playing into Jewish conspiracies. There's no Jewish conspiracy against anybody, and I think people have to be very careful in that kind of accusation. Somebody else on social media saying, well, now Trump's going to reverse all his decisions on Jerusalem, and that's very extreme language. Issue here is this case.
David says, please tell Rolene, presumed innocent until proven guilty, and that's beyond reasonable doubt. Further, if you read what Alan Dershowitz has written and his representations to the Attorney General, it is a coup. I see that Alan Dershowitz is very critical of this, but the reality is this, is Alan Dershowitz is a very well-respected American jurist, and certainly I agree with much of what he generally writes, but the point is that Netanyahu is innocent until proven guilty, but he needs to step down and deal with it. If he was, and I know that it shouldn't really have anything to do with it, but the fact is that he is not getting a government together in any event, at this point. And I know that these are separate issues, but the guy needs to step down. Let Israel get on with its own political future. Let him address this, have his day in court, prove himself innocent if that is what this is, that's to be the outcome. And then he's got every right to come back and re-enter politics.
That's absolutely right. You know, if he's innocent, he deserves his day in court. You know, there's no getting away with it. That is true justice. If the man is innocent, then, you know, this is doing him a favor as well. This is giving him his opportunity to present in a court of law. And again, the Israeli people, we deserve to hear both sides of the story. This impacts directly on our lives. And one of the impediments to forming a government was these charges hanging above him. And one of the clauses that President Rivlin put forward in his proposal for a unity government was, should the prime minister be indicted, he should take an indefinite leave of absence. And also what's quite fascinating is, here's where we see kind of where the diaspora and Israel kind of tend to butt heads. There is perhaps a different perspective coming from the diaspora than coming from inside Israel.
Yeah, absolutely right. Benjamin says, please, please don't let Jacob Zuma ever hear the term investigate the investigators. Absolutely. And Clive
Jacob
said,
if you were listening, you never heard a thing.
Right, exactly. And Clive said, he's just being smeared. Why must he step down? Well, he needs to step down because these are serious charges that have been, and it's been properly investigated. It isn't just it's been 3 years in the making.
It has, you know, and again, I ask people to try and separate Netanyahu, you know, the magnificent orator, the man, from these charges. We've got to be almost clinical in the way that we examine it. And you know, maybe it's, you know, us, Howard, because we wear the analyst hat, that we tend to look at things from very analytical perspectives. You know, at the end of the day, we've got to let the law decide. It's owed to both Netanyahu. It's owed to the Israeli people. And we also have to remember our Supreme Court is extremely, extremely respected.
Absolutely right. Rolene Marks, unfortunately, I mean, we could do this all day, but we can't do this all day. We even got you on earlier. Thank you for making yourself available. It is no doubt a story that is going to continue playing out through the course of the day and the course of next week. We will continue this, watching this very, very, very carefully, and let's see where this goes. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.